I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Just as a member of the United States Congress, I am ashamed. I am ashamed that they're saying not yet. Maybe next week. No. Not yet, Rashida. Maybe in a couple of days. How many more have to die? All of us, you know, as we come together, and it doesn't matter our faith, and of course, the American Jewish community in my district, and all of you here, I just know how much courage it's taken to speak up. But all of you as well, that you know you're being targeted, you're being gaslit, some people are losing their jobs, folks are getting events canceled, literally their First Amendment right wiped away. For standing up and saying that children deserve to live.
No one is taking away your First Amendment right to say children deserve the right to live. But never matter the facts when you're dealing with leftist ideology. It's all fabricated and fiction and smoke and mirrors. They're not interested in facts. That was Congresswoman Tlaib addressing the crowd outside the Capitol. And that, of course, hundreds of them went inside the Capitol, and at the same time when they were doing all of this, I know many raised a question. I know what your question is. We'll get to it for you in just a moment. Here we are, October 19, 2023. This is the first hour of Larry Connors USA. Video of the show streaming at Newstalk ST on Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Now, when I said the Capitol, I meant the Cannon office building is where they were all gathering, but still it was unlawful gathering. That's why there were arrests. And did it not, here's the question, did it not look like a January 6th thing again on October the 18th? And were many not arrested for January 6th for their freedom of speech, if you're going to believe Tlaib? Congresswoman Tlaib and the rest of the squad and progressives, which includes Missouri Congresswoman Bush, we'll get to her in a moment as well, are building all of their story, their anger, and everything else built upon the latest lie to come from the Hamas terrorists, which was replicated, duplicated, magnified, exaggerated by the state-controlled media all around the world. Hamas, of course, claiming that Israel targeted a hospital in Gaza. 500 plus dead, numerous casualties, and of course, horrific that anyone would target a hospital. But then the facts are, as verified not only by Israeli forces, but our U.S. Defense Department, as they told President Bush, it was a Hamas rocket. A Hamas rocket fired aiming for Israel from a cemetery south of the hospital, and it fell short. And when it fell short that early, it still had a lot of propulsion fuel that exploded, in addition to the warhead. And who knows how many munitions or arms or rockets were stored under that hospital or elsewhere in the hospital, because that's what Hamas does. They put their leaders, their people, their weapons right in the center of civilian populations and in schools and hospitals, thinking they will not be hurt or damaged in those locations. So this gathering came forward, demanding that there be an immediate ceasefire. They were carrying banners, "Jews, cease fire." And this is, of course, because there is a humanitarian crisis in Palestine. There's no doubt about that. But as we said yesterday, if there is a ceasefire, or even a pause in firing, we are going to see Hamas take advantage of it. They will move weapons, equipment, and people, and they will continue to use Palestinian citizens as shields. And then when the aid comes, of course, there's going to be an interest as to who's going to get the actual aid that comes in. Israel did concede to President Biden yesterday that it would allow humanitarian aid in, which will mean a pause in the bombing into Gaza, but it's unclear exactly how and when. But the hospital bombing thing is not going away. It continues to be a powder keg for Hamas and everyone supporting the Palestinian Authority to wipe out Israel. Now, I'm not talking about those who simply want to have concern for Palestinian citizens captured in the midst of the fighting in Gaza. I'm talking about those who are bound determined to destroy the state of Israel and all Jews and Americans while you're at it. Iran has shouted repeatedly, death to America. They mean it. But again, back to the rally, the Congresswoman Tlaib starts building again upon the lies of the hospital bombing.
It is pure, literally inhumane for my colleagues to allow that to continue and say nothing. You know, they continue to want me to believe everything that comes from our own country and from Israel under Netanyahu's extreme government. But how many times have we been lied to? The mass weapons in Iraq lie. Again, of a human to be able to live and really survive and be able to thrive in our country and in the world. It's like it doesn't even matter. And that's what's been really painful. It's just continue to watch people think it's okay to bomb a hospital where children... You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry. And like, let them cry.
Now here she is talking about let the children cry. I understand. But when she starts talking about bombing a hospital, she's blaming Israel. And she knew when she stood there addressing the crowd yesterday, the information had already been documented by Israeli and U.S. Defense Department officials. It was not an Israeli missile fired at the hospital. They can document where it originates. It didn't originate from Israel. It originated as intercepted by communications. The Israelis intercepted Hamas communications when they realized their own rocket fell. And one of those on the other end of the communication said, of all the places it fell, I mean, they knew the horror of it. And she talks about lies. Well, there's your lie. We all care about the children. I don't care what their parents are doing. We care about the children. I'm looking at a statement from the IDF. They said, you know, this report that Israel hit the hospital, it took a lot of time and a lot of hard work to get those headlines changed. And we're seeing reports of marches, demonstrations, riots, and violence because of hasty reporting, jumping to conclusions, and simply buying the Hamas story. I've got a commentary running today dealing with that. The New York Times, for example, are they, quote, doing journalism? Or are they serving as a public relations arm for Hamas? And then you have Congresswoman Cori Bush. She wants to get on the stage. She wants to get on the stage and get attention.
As I stand up here, not only in pain in my body, but in pain in my heart, in pain in my soul, but also my brain cannot comprehend what is happening right now. The fact that we have to continue to come together to ask for peace and justice and self-determination and love and humanity for actual human beings right now in 2023, I can't understand. But I'll say this. Deserve freedom. So we demand ceasefire now. Ceasefire now. Ceasefire now. Ceasefire now.
ceasefire now. And when they talk about the children, are they going to forget the children in Israel that were slaughtered, raped in front of their parents? Did you hear them condemn any of that? When you're talking about children, would you not include them? I didn't hear them suggesting they were even being included. You want to have a ceasefire into Gaza, and yes, there are women and children that are caught in that conflict. And Israeli forces are doing their best to avoid killing any of the innocent civilians, but in a war that's not often carried out, even despite your best effort. And of course, I remind you, Congresswoman Bush, as she reminded the crowd, she found a resolution.
This Monday. Yes, this Monday, I, along with my sister, Congresswoman Tlaib, and Congresswoman Summer Lee, and Ayanna Pressley, and Andre Carson, and Nydia Velasquez, and who else? Yes, who else?
Ilhan Omar.
And Ilhan Omar, you know. John Bowman. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We introduced a ceasefire resolution that calls on the Biden administration to demand an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Israel-occupied Palestine.
Yeah, she did. And I wonder what AOC thought. Well, I came last. They're calling for a ceasefire, and yet still not condemning what Hamas did. Let's make sure you understand. In Palestine, the Gaza Strip, you have mostly Palestinians generally, but you also have to look beyond that, and that inside of them are Hamas terrorists. Tonight, we're going to hear from the president, but before we do that, I want you to keep in mind Congresswoman Tlaib says Biden's going to pay for the day that they were not paying attention to those in the streets rallying at the Capitol and then in a Capitol office building.
You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry and like let them cry. And they're shaking, and somebody noticed. They keep telling them not to cry in Arabic. They can cry. I can cry. We all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden, not all America's with you on this one. And you need to wake up and understand that. We are literally watching people commit genocide and killing a vast majority just like this, and we still stand by and say nothing. We will remember this, but all of you, you need to know, I swear to God, Allah, you are on the right side of history. You are. You're doing everything possible to save lives. What is wrong with that? Stop it. We're trying to politicize this. One goal, save lives. That's it. Do everything you're supposed to do to make that happen.
Yep, save lives, save lives. Tonight, President Biden will address the nation on the Israeli-Hamas conflict, 8 p.m. Central. We will carry his speech. Attorney Sidney Powell, by the way, part of the original Trump legal team challenging an election, might now be testifying against Donald Trump.
Sidney Powell pleading guilty in the Fulton County case, the Fulton County election case against her, agreeing to, I believe, 12 months probation to pay a fine and to cooperate as a witness in the investigation into other people, including presumably former President Donald Trump.
Yep, pleading guilty in Georgia. Now, what is actually going to come from that? Here's Ailey Honeg, I should say, of CNN, legal analyst.
It's important to remember who Sidney Powell is. She's one of Donald Trump's closest loyalists. She's somebody who Donald Trump has claimed he relied on her advice to proceed in his effort to try to steal this election. This is a major breakthrough for prosecutors, potentially a devastating development for Donald Trump, because what's going to happen now is Sidney Powell is going to testify for prosecutors in Georgia, and presumably she'll also be prepared to testify for Jack Smith in his federal case in Washington, D.C. She's not indicted in that case, but she's listed as a co-conspirator in that case. She's going to be able to provide insider information that could be really devastating towards Donald Trump.
It could be. But of course, once they get her on the stand, and she apparently is still facing other charges, keep in mind. We've had Sidney Powell on the air with us in the past a couple of times. We got kicked off YouTube because we ignored their warning after the first time. If you have her back, we'll kick you off. Well, we did, and they kicked her up. Kicked us off. I've tried to get her back on the air since, but with all these legal issues going on, I understand she could not comment directly and not likely to be able to do so now. But apparently, based upon what came out, that she has apparently decided she will get out from under some of the charges, according to what it appears to be right now, by testifying against Donald Trump. Back to the CNN legal analyst.
She will be able to say, I was in this room with Donald Trump, with Rudy Giuliani. Here's what we discussed. Here's who said what. Here's what we knew. And John, really importantly, in order to take this plea and this deal, Sidney Powell is going to have to acknowledge what we did was criminal. It was illegal. It was a crime. And so that's going to lend a lot of credibility, I think, obviously, to prosecutors' assertions that what Donald Trump did was knowingly a crime, was an intentional crime. So now they've sort of got an ultimate insider, somebody who has remained steadfastly loyal to Donald Trump, to the stolen election narrative. Now she has flipped. Now she has come clean. Now she's going to be a prosecution witness.
I don't doubt necessarily what he's saying. Her term, his term, she's flipped. I mean, she's going to be willing to testify to everything that would be damning to Trump and will be a prosecution witness. But simply stating that does not mean for a lot of people they're going to jump to the conclusion that she's a sellout, a traitor, or they're going to say there's nothing solid that will be there anyway. There's a lot still play out on that. But this is just more the leftist media, state-controlled media, rushing to judgment on Trump. And now what Sidney Powell apparently did with her plea, they're using that as another example of disarray in the country. Not because of the Biden administration, not because we were doing so well under Trump, but because of losing the election and saying, I think I won it. Of course, they're going to try to have her say, they knew they were lying, weren't they? Well, do we know that Hillary Clinton was telling the truth when she said, I didn't mishandle classified material on my secret server? Of course not. All right, before this hour is over, I want to share some personal thoughts that relate to me and my family, but I do believe they're also going to relate to you. Coming up next, a high-profile Hamas critic. In fact, the son of one of the group's leaders says, I'm getting out of it. He did some time ago because they have a worship of death. He says what they're doing now and what they want to do, I cannot abide. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Larry Connors USA.
I was born at the heart of Hamas leadership, you know, and I know them very well. They don't care for the Palestinian people. They don't regard the human life. And I saw their brutality firsthand back in 1996 when I spent about a year and a half in Megiddo prison. You know, they killed so many Palestinian people at that time. And this is when I decided that I cannot be together with this movement. In fact, I asked myself a question. What if they become a ruling party at some point? What will they do? If they succeed in destroying Israel and building their state, what will they do? They will kill our people. And this was the first question, you know, that actually I had to be honest with myself. Even though Hamas gave me advantages, you know, I was like a prince in that world. But I did not like them, you know, and I turned against even my own blood, you know, because this is how much I did not like Hamas.
That is Mossab Hassan Youssef, who defected to Israel in 1997 and converted to Christianity. His father was a Hamas leader who spent many years plotting the death of Israel, and Youssef, as his son, was often beside him, watching, listening. So then when he decided to defect, now he's age 67 or 8, depending on who can date the birth, and that appears to be some difficulty. But he said, I know that Hamas and its intentions are evil. He didn't use the words pure evil exactly as President Biden did, but he said they have a worship of death. He said, I just refuse to be part of it. He's worked for 10 years as an informer for Shin Bet, that, of course, is one of the Israeli security forces. And he said, basically, again, for Hamas, they have no real interest in any human life. He also talked about in this Fox News interview, if there is an Israeli ground assault into Israel as to what they're going to encounter, and he said one of the things they're going to have to deal with are the numerous tunnels, because Hamas has prepared Gaza for just such an event.
First of all, we need to evacuate civilians as much as we can. You know, this is an ugly war, and Israel did not start it. Hamas did. First of all, we need to encourage civilians to go into Egypt, possibly women and children, maybe men over 50 years old. These need to get out of the picture. you know, then the strip need to be cut two pieces, north and south, two parts. The northern part, this is where most of the tunnels are. We need to have a solid siege, okay, for long enough to deplete the enemy and to starve them. After that, we may need to explore using gas. This is like sounds horrible, but I don't see any other option. The tunnels are interconnected, and gas could be one of the solutions, but this has to be in the right time. We cannot just rush into Gaza. You know, there is no modern army that is prepared for this type of war. And most importantly, we need to get the civilians out of the picture. As long as there are civilians there,
right,
then the operation might be incomplete.
And that's the difficulty, getting them out, because Hamas has been reportedly gunning down civilians if they try to flee. And Egypt has kept the Rafah closing, the gate closing, still in effect, not allowing any Palestinians into their country. The word is coming now that they are going to open it for aid delivery tomorrow morning. That's according to Egyptian security officials. President Biden preparing to send $100 million in aid to Gaza residents, but he also admits he is concerned about Hamas might confiscate it.
If Hamas confiscates it or doesn't let it get through, or just confiscates it, then it's going to end, because we're not going to be sending any humanitarian aid to Hamas.
This wasn't run by the Congress at all, the Senate or the House. This was something that was new to us. Last time I checked, we control the purse strings. If we can't guarantee where the money is going to go, we shouldn't be sending it, and especially to a hostile nation right now. I'm sorry, but I say a hostile group. Hamas can't be trusted. We know Iran has their hands all in this. The Palestinians are obviously protesting loudly against this and maybe even providing support for it. And so this isn't the time that we should be aiding our enemies. And that right now, Hamas is definitely the enemy that we have. They're protesting. Iran is coming after us saying that this is all of our fault, that we are the ones that started this. Why would we be providing aid to them at all? Doesn't make any sense to me. You can't buy friends. You can't buy loyalty.
Cannot buy friends. You cannot buy loyalty. The words of Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, and he said also that, as you heard him mention, we can't be really giving aid to them. Well, he's not talking about giving aid to the citizens. He's talking about Hamas, because he knows, as we should suspect, and I think we probably do know, if aid is delivered, who's really going to get it? The terrorists. And yet you hear Biden saying, well, if they're going to do that, then we probably won't continue. Well, let me point something out. Since 2021, Biden has provided $1 billion aid to Palestinians. $1 billion to Palestinians. And most of that probably went to Hamas terrorists, one form or another. And he's already questioning, well, if they confiscate this, well, then what are you going to do? They're going to confiscate it. And in fact, if you heard Mark Wayne Mullen, again, Oklahoma Senator, he said, this is not the time to be giving them aid. That same remark is echoed by Youssef, who I told you was a son of a Hamas leader and has since defected. He says, this is not the time to send aid.
After we destroy the tunnels, we need to finish Hamas rule in Gaza Strip. This is priority number one. Then we need to replace the regime. Could be the Palestinian Authority, could be the Egyptian government, could be Arab League force. We need to replace their rule in Gaza. After that, we can talk about aid. But as of now, sending any aid is a mistake.
So you also believe that this isn't about the Palestinians fighting for their rights and their sovereignty. What is the real mission of Hamas, and what do they really think of the Palestinian people?
You know, Hamas is not a national movement. Hamas is a religious movement with a goal to establish an Islamic state. They don't care for nationalism. Actually, they are against nationalism. With that said, my understanding that they are using the Palestinian cause only to achieve their goals, so the long-term goal, you know, transforming the Middle East and the world into an Islamic state.
And he also added, Hamas is not seeking coexistence in any compromise. Hamas seeks conquest, the destruction of their state of Israel enemy. He said even that is not the final Hamas destination. They want to build Hamas on the rubble of every other civilization. Again, that's from Mossab Youssef, a Hamas defector. His father was a leader in Hamas. And he says, when we see what has happened with Hamas going into Israel, carrying out the atrocities they did, and now they're trying to hide behind claims, oh, Israel attacked one of our hospitals, and laying the blame on Israel, ignoring what they did in the streets in plain broad light, which they were more than willing to video and spread across the world to show their terrorist activity. He said, really, right now, instead of folks, and especially Palestinians, instead of condemning Israel, they should be thanking Israel.
We need to free Gaza from Hamas. This is what Israel is doing. It's doing the Palestinian people the greatest favor by bringing Hamas down. Then the Palestinian people, they just want to live a normal life. They don't want missiles in the most populated area on right. Earth to be launched from under hospitals, from crowded areas, and going suicidal and endangering the life of the entire population of Gaza. Who does that? You've got to be insane to do such an operation.
Right.
And
you're talking about your family that used to, your family used to believe that, and you used to believe that that was okay, but you don't. Mossab, now, quick exit question. Around the globe, and even in our capital, people are protesting for Hamas. They're saying for the Israel to back off and stop with the airstrikes. Well, what do you say to those protesters? What is about their mindset?
Okay, listen, I cannot convince the entire world of truth. Right now, people are emotional. They hate to see children dying. Even though, you know, Hamas is killing the people at the hospital, and we have evidence of that, but they still blame Israel. People can blame whoever they want, you know, but now we have to concentrate. We have to focus. Public opinion is very important, but unfortunately, it's not the time to win the right. public opinion. It's the time to win the war against the most brutal terrorist organization living today.
And again, that was an interview of Brian Kilmeade on Fox. Mossab Youssef, a Hamas defector, converted to Christianity, was disowned by his father who led some of the Hamas movements. And he talked about the extreme indoctrination preached to young children in the mosque on a constant basis, filling their minds with hate. He said, in the mosque, Hamas told us that without shedding innocent blood for the sake of the ideology, we will not be able to build an Islamic state. He said, at 5 years old, that's what they were feeding us. He put a lot of this in a book he later wrote, and even a film, The Green Prince. He knows the inside story of Hamas. They don't want you to hear it. I do. Coming up, the Palestinian issue, once Gaza is maybe freed of Hamas, what's going to happen with all the refugees of Palestine? There's debate already on that issue. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry, Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, I'll repeat for you again that the latest word is that Egypt will open the gate at Rafah. That's where Egypt connects to Gaza. They will open it for humanitarian aid to go into Gaza tomorrow morning. Now, how much and how long? And, of course, apparently during that period of time, Israel will cease striking Gaza. And we also know how Hamas will react. One, seize all the goods coming across, take control of it, really will not get to the Palestinians until the Hamas terrorists have everything they need. And as far as the hostages, they might give them some to keep them alive as bargaining chips, but they will certainly use the pause in firing to move positions, move equipment, and be ready for a ground assault at some point. In the meantime, a State Department official has resigned over the Biden administration's approach to the conflict. This guy, Josh Paul, said he's worked at the Bureau on Political Military Affairs for more than 11 years. He said, I'm resigning due to a policy disagreement concerning our continued lethal assistance to Israel. He said, let's be clear, let me be clear. Hamas attack on Israel was not just a monstrosity, it was a monstrosity of monstrosities. But still he can find a reason to explain around it. He said, I also believe that potential escalations by Iran-linked groups such as Hezbollah or Iran would be a further cynical exploitation of the existing tragedy. But I believe to the core of my soul the response Israel is taking, in other words, retaliating, and with it, the American support for that response and the status quo of the occupation will only lead to more and deeper suffering for both Israeli and Palestinian people, not in the long-term American interest. He's entitled to his opinion. And I'm glad if he's got the opinion, he's out of the State Department, because what Israel is doing, responding what any country would do, what country would allow some group to come in and start just killing and slaughtering their citizens and then taking them back into their country as hostages. Name me one country that would allow that. Oh, that would be the land of the progressives, I guess. Until you kill their family members or fellow friends and colleagues, then they would also change their mind. That I can guarantee you. In the meantime, the question about the Palestinians, when Hamas is finally destroyed, what are you going to do about the Gaza Strip? Well, of course, President Biden has already said the U.S. wants Israel to not take over the Gaza Strip, let the Palestinians hold it, either under PLO leadership or maybe Egyptian, but don't take it over for Israel. Then you have the issue of the Palestinians who want to get out of the region forever. Where are they going to go? Some have already talked, maybe bring them to the States. No, don't bring them to the States. And in fact, Egypt and other Arab countries neighboring and nearby, they don't want the Palestinians. Why? Well, one argument you're going to get from them is we don't want them because this would give Israel an opportunity to force permanent expulsion of Palestinians. That would be the trigger for them to do that, to basically take them out of Gaza, then the West Bank, all over. And they're fearing the rise of hard right parties under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about removing Palestinians. That's one theory. The other theory, and this is the one I do buy into because it comes direct from the Egyptian president, he said a mass accident would risk the Hamas militants going into Egypt. And then they might launch attacks on Israel. And of course, Israel would respond just as they're doing now. They don't want the militants in their country because they know what they stand for, what they would do, and they have no regard for life, even if it's Egyptian, Lebanese, or Syrian, because they believe only in Hamas. As you heard, and I quoted earlier, the son of a former leader, Hamas, who had resigned or left and defected to Israel and converted to Christianity, said Hamas's theory will accept no compromise, and they don't want to just take over Israel. They want to build Hamas upon the rubble of every nation. Flying home from Israel last night, President Biden was speaking to reporters on Air Force One about the hospital bombing that was hit by Hamas, but of course some of his remarks are still upsetting. That story's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden will address the nation tonight from Washington after returning from his Israel trip. During that trip back to Washington, the president commented on the Gaza hospital blast, telling reporters that Palestinians have to, quote, learn how to shoot straight. Watch this.
I'm not suggesting that Hamas deliberately did it either. It's that old thing, got to learn how to shoot straight. It's not the first time Hamas has launched something that didn't function very well. So I don't know all the detail, but I do know the people at the Defense Department who I respect, the intelligence community that I respect, it's highly improbable that Israel did that.
So Biden agreeing that Hamas did not do it, and then saying that they need to shoot straight. Well, if they'd shot straight, that'd been another rocket into Israel killing Israelis. But, of course, then it fell short, some kind of malfunction, and hit the hospital. Biden's almost careless, casual remark about shoot straight, what you can take it so many different ways. As he was doing the interview, and I'm watching some of it, I'm thinking, Somebody nailed him on a question here. What do you mean shoot straight? Do you realize what would have happened if it had not fallen into the hospital? What would be your reaction to that? Not one reporter, because they're on Air Force One, or they don't have the gonads to ask it anyway. Well, then would you rather it go on into Israel and kill more Israelis? Is that what you want? They wouldn't ask that question. They should have. Now, again, the debate over who destroyed the hospital was one of the hotly contested issues, and giving reason for Michigan Congresswoman Tlaib and the rest of the squad to rally the crowds at the Capitol building, the office building yesterday, and about 3 to 5 were arrested, some for assaulting police. They would not disperse when they were told to. It looked to me like a January 6th, but it's not going to be treated that way by this administration. But the other thing, and Maria has been talking about this issue with Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, and the launch information is one thing, and then Biden's reaction is the other. Let's break it down for you.
I think he got the same information that we received too yesterday in a classified briefing. I think it's pretty obvious that Israel didn't do this. It was a delivered from someone else. I couldn't really say who it is because that was classified that we received. But I mean, it's not hard, Maria, to check to see where the launch is from a missile. And it was obvious it didn't come from an airstrike. Remember, we have defense systems that shoot down missiles when they're shot in. We can also track them when they're shot out, too. So it was almost immediate we knew that Israel did not do this.
Yeah, no, I know, but I just feel like the comment is so cavalier.
I agree with that.
I mean, come on.
I think it was kind of more tongue-in-cheek. I think he was trying to be funny, but we've learned quite a bit that Biden is not funny.
Well, how many people are dead? Thousands of people are dead right now.
And there would have been more dead in Israel if the rocket had succeeded, or a likely chance of it anyway. Yes, we grieve and mourn for those in the hospital, hit even by an accidental strike, be it Hamas or Israel. But it was not Israel. It was Hamas. And yet they want to accept it, want to not acknowledge it, and these Congress progressives want to continue to blame Israel anyway. Rally in the streets, continue to shout, this is wrong, we need a ceasefire. They don't want to pause in fire for humanitarian aid. They want a total ceasefire. Israel, you've extracted your revenge. That's what they're talking about. They're again claiming proportional relationship. Does the crime and the judgment fit together, or is one exceeding the other? I'd say the crime exceeded already the punishment Israel's dropped, because they have not really hit everyone they want to. That'd be every Hamas terrorist. But you got these leftists in Congress, and why they can be a member of Congress like Tlaib and Cori Bush speaking out on behalf of not just Palestine, but basically death to Israel, and supporting Iran, which is behind this, which is identified by our own State Department as a terrorist state. I've yet to see one single Democrat really call them out. And in fact, 129 Democrats refused to sign a statement condemning Hamas. I want to double check my number. If I gave you, I said 129, 149 would not sign a condemnation letter condemning Hamas. That included Pelosi, Jeffries, Hoyer, Swalwell, and the usual suspects. Now add this to your litany of issues going on right now. This had been telegraphed earlier in the year. It has now happened. The so-called 9/11 20th hijacker has been released from Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, repatriated to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for health treatment, according to the New York Times. In June 2021, the Parole Review Board determined the law of war detention was no longer necessary to protect against a continuing significant threat to the national security of the U.S., and that he should be repatriated to his native country. We've done this before. The ones left let go earlier, they didn't go back to farming or doing something like that. They got right back into the fight. But one of these experts is saying, you know, for 15 years, his lawyer, to be specific, I've sat across from Mohammed as he talks to non-existent people in the room. And he hears voices. If they tell him to swallow a mouth of broken glass, he'd probably do it. I think the lawyer's being played like we're being played, but we're going to release him. By the way, they're still trying to close down Guantanamo Bay. At last report, 38 detainees, 19 might be eligible for transfer, 7 eligible for a review board, 10 involved in other activities. They're still trying to close it down. But now, this lawyer says, well, after 2 decades of indefinite detention, Mohammed will have a chance to heal from the torture he suffered. Mental health care Guantanamo can't provide, and maybe one day reclaim his life. Let me add, might also claim other lives, American lives, like 9/11. I mentioned in the beginning of this hour, I wanted to close on a personal note, which is personal, and yet I think it's also going to be relatable to you and your family. Today marks the birth date of one of my 2 children, the first. The second born 2 years and 2 days later. So in 2 days, marked the birth date of the second one. And when they were born, and we're talking about 30 plus years, I'm not giving away their age, but 30 plus years, the bottom line is the world was entirely different than what it is now. We have seen horrific things throughout the world in those 30-plus years. And now look where we are in this most recent. How many of you have children born over that period of time? And when they were born, you had the highest hopes for them and prayers for them. And they did the same as they grew older. Now maybe they have children, have the same. But right now, we could be on the precipice of a World War III, full annihilation, or maybe better, the second coming. But the bottom line is, when your child is born, you have so many great plans and things for them. And to the extent of those in that Gaza hospital who had children, they had dreams for their children too. But they unfortunately were born in Gaza, surrounded by Hamas terrorists. And then the Israelis, who had their children and still do, they have had dreams for their children. But they're surrounded by nations of enemies who want to destroy them. We cannot go back to the days of Mayberry as much as we might want. But maybe we can continue to try to find a way to make life better, not for us, but for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But it will only stop and get better when the people that are filled with hate, they want to kill for the sake of killing or to advance a cause, will cease. And maybe that will cease only when they quit breathing. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.